Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Monday, April 29th, 2019. Coming up this hour.
New questions about Boeing's MAX jets as the company's annual meeting gets underway.
Management at Bayer faces shareholder rebellion as legal pressure grows.
And Anadarko leans toward endorsing Occidental's $38 billion takeover bid.
A new poll is good news for former Vice President Biden as he hits the campaign trail today. Plus the aftermath from a deadly weekend shooting at a California synagogue. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stanshauer in sports. The Islanders lost game 2 to Carolina, trailed the series 2-0. The Yankees with a sweep in San Francisco. The Mets beat Milwaukee.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. futures are little changed this morning while stocks in Europe are falling. We're coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are little changed, down a point. Dow futures up 3, NASDAQ futures down 2. The DAX in Germany is down about 0.3%. The CAC in Paris down 0.4%. 10-year Treasury down 1/32nd, yield 2.50%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.28%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.7% or 46 cents to $62.84 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.3% on $4.40 to $12.84.40 an ounce. The euro 1.1162 against the dollar. The yen 111.72. Nathan.
Karen, it's a big day for Boeing. The company's annual shareholder meeting gets underway as the grounding of 737 MAX jets enters its seventh week. Bloomberg's Taylor Riggs reports.
Investors are looking for any updates from the management team after executives last week said they had no timetable for the return of the 737 MAX. The company also reported quarterly profit last week that missed estimates and suspended their 2019 guidance until further updates on the 737 MAX and its impact on their financials becomes available. I'm Taylor Riggs, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Taylor, thank you. And now the absence of a key safety alert on 737 MAX jets is raising more questions for Boeing. Bloomberg's Kyungyi Park has details.
The standard warning system that was in the previous 737 versions was not available on the 737 MAX. Actually, you had to pay for additional fee for that feature. And so since it was already a standard feature on the previous 737s, I think a lot of airlines expected that feature to be a standard on the MAX itself. And it seems like they only found out after the accident that it wasn't.
And separately, the Wall Street Journal says officials are probing claims by a dozen or so whistleblowers concerning 737 MAX jets.
Management at Bayer is digging in against shareholder rebellion over its acquisition of Monsanto as the company faces more than 13,000 lawsuits alleging its Roundup weed killer causes cancer. Bloomberg's Christine Burke reports.
Bayer held its annual investor meeting on Friday, and shareholders took a vote of no confidence against CEO Werner Baumann. But then the supervisory board decided that they are still going to stand by CEO Werner Baumann. And so now over the weekend, sources have spoken to Bloomberg and said that there are many shareholders that are very frustrated. They now want to see an overhaul of the board and also want the company to take on a strategic review that would consider a possible breakup of the company.
That has shares of Bayer higher, actually, up more than 2% in Frankfurt.
As Anadarko Petroleum weighs takeover bids from Chevron and Occidental, the Financial Times says it's leaning towards Occidental's $38 billion offer. Bloomberg's Stuart Wallace has details.
It's coming down to something more than price. It's also about what is the synergy between the assets and, more importantly, what do the balance sheets look like? Because if you think, particularly in the case of Anadarko, it's got this mega LNG project in Mozambique, and that's going to require an enormous amount of financing. So it's not just about the bid, it's also about the health of the balance sheet of the parent company that ultimately is going to own that asset. Are they going to have the money and the access to funds to develop it?
Earlier this month, Chevron agreed to acquire Anadarko for $33 billion, $5 billion less than Occidental's latest bid. If Anadarko goes with Occidental, Chevron has 4 days to come back with a counteroffer.
Turning to markets now, stocks in Asia started the week mixed, with trading in Japan closed for a holiday. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us with the latest from Singapore. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. The Shanghai Composite continued to remain under pressure after last week's dismal performance. However, Hong Kong stocks listed in China fared well ahead of a slew of earnings from more than 60 companies worth some $2.6 trillion. The ASX 200 lost almost half of 1% in Sydney, snapping its four-day winning streak. Elsewhere, Australia's dollar rose on month-end demand from exporters, while trading in other currencies was muted as investors await multiple risk events this week. In Singapore, I'm Juliette Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Juliette, thank you. Those risk events include a Federal Reserve decision, the monthly U.S. jobs report, and another round of trade talks. Here with more on those negotiations is Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis.
A Trump administration official says it's still possible these talks will fall apart, that President Trump could walk away if there's no progress. USTR Robert Lighthizer and Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin are due to begin talks in Beijing tomorrow with Chinese Vice Premier Liu He. Lately, negotiators have been pretty positive. So it's not clear if the comments today represent some new snag, or perhaps simply that the gap between the two sides still needs to narrow. In Hong Kong, I'm Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Brian. In Europe, socialist Pedro Sanchez has won the most seats in Spain's election, but now faces challenges when it comes to forming a government. Bloomberg's Anne-Marie Hordern has the very latest from Madrid.
How does he form this majority? That's the next path forward. Really two scenarios that can happen. One is that he forms an alliance with Ciudadanos. The problem with this is their leader has campaigned on the fact that they would not do a deal with Sanchez. The second route he can take in terms of a coalition is with Podemos and some other smaller parties, and that would mean reaching out to Catalonian nationalists. That would be a bit of a hodgepodge coalition, but the numbers there would work.
An alliance with the Catalan separatists makes more political sense, but a coalition with the liberal Ciudadanos makes for easier math. Stocks in Spain are down 0.75% following the vote.
Here in the U.S., shares of Disney are up 1.5% in early trading. Its film Avengers Endgame set a box office record, taking it $1.2 billion worldwide over the weekend. S&P futures, again, little change now, down a point. Dow futures up 5, NASDAQ futures down 1.5, and the 10-year Treasury down 1/32nd. The yield is at 2.50%. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
And it's 6:07 on Wall Street. Michael Barr is here with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Former Vice President Joe Biden leads Senator Bernie Sanders by 17% to 11% among Democratic and Democratic-leaning independent voters. That's according to an ABC News Washington Post poll of more than 1,000 adults with a 3.5% margin of error. Other prominent Democrats like Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer of New York are holding off on making a choice.
I'd like to see the candidate who has the best chance of beating Donald Trump win, and the primary voters will determine that.
Meanwhile, Biden will make his first campaign stop today with a rally in Pittsburgh. Authorities say the 19-year-old man accused of opening fire on Sabbath worshipers in a deadly shooting rampage at a synagogue near San Diego is believed to have acted alone without help from any organized group. Police say the suspected gunman, John Ernest, walked into the synagogue Saturday, the last day of Passover, killed one woman and wounded three other people inside using an assault-style rifle. Rabbi Yisrael Goldstein, who was injured in the attack, spoke at a vigil in Poway, California last night.
God spared me, and it made me think about this. Every single one of us, when we go to sleep at night and we wake up the next morning, ask the same question I asked myself. Why am I alive? Why did I survive this?
60-year-old Lori Gilbert Kay was also shot. She did not survive. Stephen Moore, President Trump's choice for a seat on the Federal Reserve Board, vows to survive a smear campaign against him. Moore, a former Trump campaign advisor, told ABC's This Week some of his articles from his days as a columnist was an obvious failed attempt at humor. Critics say it was demeaning to women. Some of Moore's articles were written close to 20 years ago, but a more recent article in 2014 was brought up where he said closing the gender wage gap could prove harmful to the stability of the American family.
This is the best labor market for workers in your and my lifetime. I mean, look, I'm not going to apologize for that. I think it's a fantastic thing. I just want when it comes to wages and you know, gender equity, I want that to be decided by the market. I don't want government to intervene in those kinds of things.
ABC's This Week can be heard Sundays right here on Bloomberg Radio. Former Indiana Senator Richard Lugar has died at age 87. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. 6:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update with John Stanshauer.
Nathan, the Islanders have gotten where they are by being the NHL's best defensive team. They give up the fewest goals, but you got to score also. And in two games versus Carolina, they've only scored once. And that one yesterday was actually put in the net by a Carolina player. The Hurricanes scored goals 48 seconds apart, early third period. They won game two in Brooklyn 2-1, and they now lead Barry Trotz's Islanders 2-0.
Well, that's the cruel reality sometimes, is that you play really well and you don't get the result. But it's about the state of the process, and we've been doing that all year. Play our game, play it hard, and give everything you have. And I don't think I can say that we didn't give it. You know, everything we have, we just didn't get the result.
Game three Wednesday in Raleigh. The other three series all tied at one. Colorado won 4-3 at San Jose. Wild finish to the much-anticipated NBA series between Houston and Golden State. The Warriors held on to win game one, 104-100. The Rockets upset with a couple of non-foul calls at the end. Boston won game one with surprising ease at top-seeded Milwaukee, 112-90. The Celtics have yet to lose a playoff game. What a road trip this has been for the Yankees, and it's not over. Two games at Arizona starting tomorrow. They completed the sweep in San Francisco 11-5. Two-run homers for Gary Sanchez and Gleyber Torres. Domingo Herman now 5-1, and the Yanks 6-1 on the trip. They've won 9 of 10, despite 13 players being on the injured list, and two more. DJ LeMahieu and Gio Urshela had to leave yesterday's game due to injury. Mets back over 500, salvaged one from Milwaukee. They were up 2-0. The Brewers tied in the seventh inning. The Mets pulled it out 5-2. Steven Matz got the victory. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stanshauer. Nathan?
And John, give technology a big assist in Manchester City's pursuit of a Premier League title. The soccer team beat Burnley 1-0 thanks to a score that needed confirmation from goal line technology. After a review, it was determined the distance of the goal over the line was less than 1.2 inches. S&P futures little changed. Dow futures up 12 points. NASDAQ futures little changed. This is Daybreak. And it's coming up to 6:12 on Wall Street. Straight ahead, we set you up for the trading day and week ahead with our team of Bloomberg News editors joining us from bureaus around the world. Stay with us. This is Bloomberg.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures are little changed this morning. Dow futures are up 10 points, while S&P and NASDAQ futures are both down less than a point. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 2.50%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.7% or 43 cents to $62.86 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.4% or $4.90 to $12.83.90 an ounce. And watching Walt Disney up 1.7% in early trading. Avengers Endgame setting a box office record. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, former Vice President Joe Biden is set to give his first campaign speech of the 2020 presidential race in Pittsburgh this afternoon. A vigil was held yesterday after a Saturday shooting at a synagogue near San Diego that left one woman dead. NHL playoffs. The Hurricanes have a 2-0 lead over the Islanders. Carolina beat New York 2-1 Sunday. NBA playoffs. The Celtics and Warriors won. In baseball, the Yankees down the Giants. Mets won along with the Nationals. Red Sox lost along with the Orioles and A's. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. We're coming up to 6:19 on Wall Street and live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Let's get you set up for the trading day and week ahead. To do that, we're joined from Beijing by managing editor Emma O'Brien in London. We're pleased to have news director David Merritt and executive editor for Breaking News Madeline Lim joins us from Singapore. Emma, let's start with you in Beijing because that's where U.S.-China trade talks are set to resume this week. Both sides saying they're close to a deal. How close are they, though?
Well, there's still a lot of unresolved issues when it comes to this mysterious sort of agreement that Donald Trump says he wants signed on U.S.-China trade in May. We've got talks, as you said, resuming here in Beijing tomorrow. We've got the U.S. trade rep Lighthizer, Treasury Secretary Mnuchin back in town. The main meaty sticking points continue to be China's approach to intellectual property, so-called forced technology transfer, as well as other barriers to entering the market that the U.S. has an issue with. But if Trump is intent on getting real progress on these, he could face a pretty immovable Beijing, and that means that we could see them walk away from the negotiating table or that deadline of an agreement in May pushed ahead.
Madeline Lim, it's going to be a meaty week for U.S. traders with so many companies reporting earnings this week.
Indeed, it is peak earnings season, Nathan. We have companies, a whole range of them, from Merck, J&J, GM, Lowe's reporting. I think the two standouts that obviously are going to be very much in focus are Alphabet today, so the Google parent, and Apple tomorrow. Alphabet shares have outperformed the S&P this year, and all eyes will be on advertising revenue and overall costs, which were weak spots in the fourth quarter when advertising revenue kind of plateaued and costs rose more than expected. For Apple stock, where we've also seen a recovery from the low since the profit warning at the start of the year, it's iPhone sales in China that's very much in focus. That and the company's continued shift to services as a revenue generator. And while analysts have been upgrading their share price targets for Apple, they've done so reluctantly just given these challenges, particularly on the iPhone front that we're seeing for Apple.
David Merritt in London. Spain just held an election and socialist Pedro Sanchez is coming back into power. But the question is, can he govern?
That's right. A good night, though, for Pedro Sanchez, after yesterday's election. He won by far the most seats, not enough for a majority. So he's got to cobble together a coalition to get there of left-leaning parties. But even that isn't going to be quite enough. So he's going to have to rely on one of the Catalan separatist parties in order to form a government. We can expect weeks of horse trading to get there. And this big question of what to do about Catalonia. Recall, you know, that failed bid for independence from Catalonia, causing so much instability in Spain over the last years. But if he can get a deal, maybe the future looks a little bit more stable. They've had 4 years of real turmoil in government, and this could be the first proper stable government that Spain has had for some time. It's already growing faster as an economy than the Eurozone average. So, yes, a good night for him and his party, and also for socialists across Europe as we look forward to the European elections in a few weeks' time.
Madeline Lim, back to you. Not just a big week for earnings, but for economic data as well.
Yes, indeed. First up is, of course, the FOMC meeting where rates will be held unchanged. That's widely expected. And the Fed isn't likely to show its hand very much on the next steps. It can afford to continue to be patient. The economic data for March, particularly payrolls for last month, show that the economy has appeared to weather the challenges of the first few months of the year quite well. But as we saw in Friday's GDP report, where the headline number was better than expected, there are spots of weaknesses, particularly in consumption. And, of course, for the Fed, very important, there just don't seem a lot of signs of inflation picking up. And speaking of inflation, that, of course, takes us to a whole slew of inflation data that we're getting this week, starting with PCE data for March. That's the Fed's favorite inflation gauge, and there the core figure is expected to remain below the 2% target at around 1.7%. And finally, to round out the week, we'll get the jobs report at 180K expected.
Emma O'Brien, where are we on Renault-Nissan merger talks?
Well, there's a lot of reports and speculation flying around. What we do understand from sources is that the new chairman of Renault, Mr. Sinnard, has made some kind of overture to Nissan about a merger that involves setting up a holding company in which they would have 50-50 management of. That is an improvement on the current situation right now, which is not a merger but an alliance, and in which Nissan is significantly disadvantaged despite being for some time the stronger company. Now we're seeing that there's pushback from Nissan itself, according to our sources, and also from the Japanese government. They're not keen on a merger at all. They think that it will subsume Nissan and dilute its power. So still ongoing there.
And speaking of pushback, David Merritt, how about the shareholder rebellion at Bayer?
Yeah, that's right. A big fight breaking out there between the German pharma and chemicals giants management and shareholders. Had this very long AGM on Friday where shareholders voted to really blame the management for problems with this acquisition of Monsanto. This company is facing 13,000 lawsuits over its Roundup weed killer and whether it causes cancer. So the attention now turning to the US courts and how much they're going to have to pay up.
David Merritt in London. Also thanks to Bloomberg's Madeline Lim in Singapore and Emma O'Brien joining us from Beijing. This is Bloomberg. And Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Burden LLP. Let Burden create innovative tax solutions to benefit your family and your business. Visit burdenllp.com. Burden Accountants and Advisors. They listen, they solve, they do.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are little changed this morning to begin the trading week. Last week, the S&P 500 and NASDAQ closed at record highs. Markets in Japan are closed for the week, while stocks in Europe are moving lower.
Crude oil is moving lower as well after President Trump renewed his push for lower prices and Russia said it would restore normal oil flows to Eastern Europe within 2 weeks. Checking prices now, NYMEX crude is down 0.6% at $62.91 a barrel, while Brent is down about 1% at $71.44.
Boeing holds a highly anticipated shareholder meeting following the grounding of its 737 MAX jets. Bloomberg's Christine Burke has more.
Surely investors are going to be asking a lot of tough questions to CEO Dennis Muilenburg. We're expecting to see protesters outside of the gathering. So that always makes for a bit more drama, if you will.
Meanwhile, Southwest Airlines says it heard from Boeing just after the Lion Air crash in October. The company told Southwest that an alert warning pilots of a sensor malfunction linked to the crash wasn't a standard feature. Boeing said the warning only worked if airlines bought an extra piece of equipment.
The latest round of tech earnings continues today with results from Alphabet. The company reports after the close of U.S. trading, and Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger has a preview.
The parent of Google has been investing heavily in cloud and infrastructure, and Bloomberg Intelligence says that likely weighed on the company's margins. That could mask robust growth in advertising as the number of paid clicks rises on mobile ad demand. Currency headwinds and tougher year-over-year comparisons could be with Alphabet through the first half. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Jeff. The Financial Times reports Anadarko is preparing to endorse Occidental's $38 billion takeover offer. The move threatens to derail a previously agreed deal with Chevron.
And shares of Disney are up 1.5% in early trading. Its film Avengers Endgame set a box office record by taking in $1.2 billion worldwide this weekend. Now let's get you up to date on how stocks are faring. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. And S&P futures, it'll change, down a point. Dow futures up 3. NASDAQ futures down 3. The DAX in Germany is down 0.25%, almost 0.3% right now. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 2.50%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.28%. COMEX gold is down 0.33% on $4.10 at $1,284.70 an ounce. The euro, 1.1159 against the dollar. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
All right, thanks, Karen. It's 6:33 on Wall Street. Time to bring in Michael Barr to find out what's happening in the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. Former Vice President Joe Biden is set to hold his first campaign rally in Pittsburgh today. Biden sits atop a new national ABC News Washington Post poll for the Democratic presidential nomination. 17% of Democrats and Democratic-leaning independents back him. On ABC's This Week, Democratic Congressman Jim Clyburn says while he is not backing anyone yet, Biden's presence brings a new dimension to the race.
At this point in time, Joe Biden is probably the leader. The question is whether or not he can maintain that lead.
ABC's This Week can be heard Sundays on Bloomberg Radio. President Trump called to express his condolences to the rabbi who survived the deadly shooting at a synagogue near San Diego. Investigators from the San Diego County Sheriff's Department and the FBI say they believe the suspected shooter, 19-year-old John Ernest, acted alone. Attorney General William Barr's appearance before the House Judiciary Committee this week is in doubt. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
The Justice Department has balked at the panel's plans to have counsel from both sides question the Attorney General after the traditional round of questioning by members. Remember, this happened in the Justice Kavanaugh hearings in the Senate, though. The Senate will use the traditional rules, and Democratic Senator Amy Klobuchar on NBC says his appearance in both houses is very important.
Evidence of him being told to fire the special counsel, to me, this looks like obstruction of justice, which is exactly what Barr had told me in those questions. So I view this as an opportunity to really push him on what obstruction of justice is.
The Senate appearance is scheduled for Wednesday, the House Thursday. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
In Spain, socialist Pedro Sanchez has won the most seats in yesterday's election, but now faces challenges when it comes to forming a government. Bloomberg's Charles Penty reports from Madrid.
Spanish Prime Minister Pedro Sanchez had a good election night, with his socialist party winning 123 seats. That's not enough to govern, though. He still needs to craft political alliances to reach the 176 seats that would give him a majority. Podemos, a party to the left of the socialists, looks like an obvious partner, as do the Basque nationalists. But that might not be enough to take him over the line, leaving him to forge partnerships with other smaller groups and perhaps having to rely on Catalan separatist parties to be able to govern. In Madrid, Charles Penty, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. 6:35 on Wall Street and time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, the Islanders began the playoffs with four straight wins over Pittsburgh. They won the home games at their old home, the Nassau Coliseum. Second round, two home losses to Carolina. Games played in their new home in Brooklyn. Hurricanes took the series opener 1-0 in overtime. Then game two yesterday at Barclays, 2-1. Series goes to Raleigh for game three Wednesday. Colorado won 4-3 at San Jose. That's tied at one. Houston Rockets season ended a year ago with a game seven loss to Golden State. Start of the rematch, same result. Warriors won 104-100. Rockets were furious with non-foul calls. They felt Golden State didn't let Houston players land on their three-point shots. And afterwards, Rockets coach Mike D'Antoni didn't want to criticize the refs and get fined.
I'm going to really try to be a nice guy, you know, because I really don't want to give the charity to them. I'd rather have my charity and have the money. So, the response was they just came at halftime and said they missed it. That's what they told me. So they missed four of them. That's 12 foul shots. So be it. I mean, they're trying to do the best they can do. And obviously, it was what it was.
Boston won 112-90 at Milwaukee. The Yankees with a sweep in San Francisco. They won 11-5. Luke Voigt, three hits, two runs, two RBIs, and enjoying himself.
Confidence in our locker right now is to the roof. Every guy's coming in, doing their job, and it's fun. I mean, I couldn't be happier for all the groups of guys that we got in there. And, you know, the guys are coming in and doing their thing, and, we're having a blast.
6-1 on the road trip at Arizona tomorrow. Mets beat the Brewers 5-2. Steven Matz, since that nightmare start in Philadelphia when he gave up eight runs and didn't retire a batter, has won twice and has allowed only three runs in 13 innings. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan.
All right, John, thank you. It's 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
Some Democrats in Congress are having second thoughts about increasing the federal minimum wage to $15 an hour. They're right to. Desirable as it is to raise incomes, setting a minimum that high for the whole country would put jobs at risk in areas where wages are low. Minimums that allow for regional variation would be a much better approach. Representative Terry Sewell of Alabama is proposing to tie the minimum wage to the regional cost of living. That makes sense. Ideally, states and cities would set their own adequate minimums. But if there's to be a federal policy to protect workers from poverty nationwide, it ought to make allowance for the wide variation in labor costs. Regulation attuned to local conditions would do more for the working poor, than a one-size-fits-all minimum wage. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Opinion Editorial Board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
You can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. It's 6:38 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Green Report. Here's Bob Moon.
The UN climate chief says world leaders must recognize there is no option except to speed up and scale up action to tackle global warming, warning that continuing on the current path will lead to a catastrophe. Patricia Espinosa is stressing that while climate scientists say there's still a chance to make things right, the window of opportunity is closing very soon, and the world has 12 years until carbon emissions reach a point of no return. Some scientists have said that tipping point is an oversimplification, that it was not intended to suggest some kind of cliff edge. Espinosa says scientists gave the world 12 years to speed up and scale up actions to cut emissions before they start spiraling out of control. Espinosa suggests the world flirts with that timing at its own peril and needs to accelerate all efforts to keep from reaching that level. As she explained it, the transformations needed to go to a downward trajectory cannot be done overnight. That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. I'm Bob Moon.
All right. Thank you, Bob. Billionaires are gathering in Beverly Hills for the Milken Conference. The event gets underway today. Here with a preview of that, Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
Buyout titans, bankers, politicians, entertainment moguls, and even professional athletes are among the hundreds who've gathered at the Milken Global Conference in Los Angeles. For many attendees, the main purpose is purely business. Some prominent Milken goers say they prefer the L.A. Conference to the World Economic Forum in Davos because it attracts more giants of industry looking to do deals rather than talking about ways to change the world. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thank you, Charlie. And Bloomberg Radio and Television will be live at the Milken Conference, bringing you interviews throughout the day from the likes of Goldman Sachs CEO David Solomon, Blackstone Chairman Steve Schwarzman, and many more. Watching headlines from Tesla crossing the Bloomberg Terminal this morning, the electric car maker says it sees adequate liquidity over at least the next 12 months, cash from core operations sufficient for capital expenditures, and seeing a CapEx of $2.5 to $3 billion a year for the next two fiscal years. Shares of Tesla are up 1 2/3% in early trading. This is Bloomberg. Coming up to 6:41 on Wall Street. Straight ahead, we check in on the latest from Washington, D.C. with Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter. Stay with us. This is Daybreak.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. It is 6:47 on Wall Street, and futures this morning now little change to lower. Let's go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Good morning, Bill.
And good morning, Karen. Modest losses in the futures right now. Dow futures down 12 points. S&P's dropped 2. And NASDAQ futures declined by 7. The U.S. 10-year yield at 2.5%. Oil is down again today. And Hong Kong rose 1% overnight, while U.P. markets are also trading lower this morning. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, personal income spending and PCE, and at 10:30, the Dallas Fed. Regarding earnings this morning, Spotify revenue beat estimate. Shares are higher in the pre-market. And in deal news, the Financial Times reported that Anadarko is leaning towards the Occidental bid over Chevron's. In other news, the Wall Street Journal reported that officials are probing about a dozen whistleblower claims over the 737 MAX. And wrapping things up, American Airlines was upgraded by over at Deutsche Bank. Colgate-Palmolive upgraded to neutral at J.P. Morgan. Adobe was upgraded to overweight at Morgan Stanley, and American Express cut to neutral over at UBS. Live from the First Bacon News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg Times Squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, former Vice President Joe Biden holds his first 2020 presidential campaign rally in Pittsburgh this afternoon. A recent ABC News Washington Post poll shows Biden is the front runner, with 17% of the respondents saying they want him to be the Democratic nominee. Investigations are underway today into the background of the suspected gunman accused of opening fire inside of a San Diego County synagogue over the weekend, killing a woman and injuring three others. Today, charges will likely be filed against 19-year-old John Ernest. In the NHL playoffs, the Hurricanes have a 2-game-to-zip lead over the Islanders. Carolina beat New York 2-1 Sunday. In the NBA playoffs, the Celtics won their opener against the Bucks in the East semifinals, 112-90. The Warriors won Game 1 of their Western semis against the Rockets, 104-100. In baseball, the Yankees downed the Giants, 11-5. Mets won, along with the Nationals. Red Sox lost, along with the Orioles and A's. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios, where it's 6:49 on Wall Street. Time to check what's going on in D.C., where the shooting at a San Diego area synagogue has revived a perennial debate about America's culture.
That glorifies guns in such a way that people feel emboldened to use them to settle whatever griefs they may have.
Democrat Jim Clyburn on ABC's This Week. He represents South Carolina, where a historic black church was the scene of a mass shooting 4 years ago. Republican Senator Lindsey Graham is from the same state.
Well, I think somebody interdicted the shooter, thank God, and it could have been worse. But I think in California, you can't buy a gun until you're 21. So let's find out how this guy got the gun, what his motives were.
He was on CBS Face the Nation. Also on that program, Iran's foreign minister Javad Zarif. He says some in President Trump's orbit might be trying to lure him into conflict with Iran through tighter sanctions.
I know that President Trump had ran on a campaign promise of not engaging in any more foolish wars. I know that some other people have different agendas.
Completely ridiculous. I think what that interview showed was a carefully prepared propaganda script by the Iranians. This is their effort to try and sow disinformation in the American body politic.
White House National Security Advisor John Bolton on Fox News Sunday. And as Congress returns from recess this week, Attorney General William Barr will testify about the redacted Mueller report. Democratic Senator and presidential candidate Amy Klobuchar tells NBC's Meet the Press.
When you read that report in detail, and you start out with what happened with Russia, to me, it looks like obstruction.
And Republican Lindsey Graham, again on CBS, says Russia's interference was more than just a few Facebook ads, as President Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner's, called it.
Can you imagine what we would be saying if the Russians or the Iranians hacked into the presidential team of the Republican Party? So, no, this is a big deal.
And that is just some of the conversation from the political shows you hear every Sunday on Bloomberg Radio, starting with NBC's Meet the Press at 11 a.m. Wall Street time, followed by Fox News Sunday at noon, ABC's This Week at 1 p.m., and Face the Nation from CBS at 2 o'clock on Sundays. On this Monday morning, we're joined by Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter. And I guess it's safe to say, Kate, that at least one, if not both, of the Barr hearings will be the event of the week in D.C. if the Barr hearing in the House even happens. I mean, there are questions about some of the ground rules there.
Yeah, so I think the broad expectation is that the House hearing might be more explosive than the Senate hearing, given that Democrats control the House, and so they'll be the majority and have a lot more power to sort of dictate the terms of the hearing in the House. However, that being said, I think it's worth noting that in the Senate, you know, we do have three presidential candidates on the Senate Judiciary Committee on the Democratic side, Kamala Harris of California, Cory Booker of New Jersey, and Amy Klobuchar, who we just heard from, of Minnesota. So I would expect each of those candidates to try to, in particular, you know, really take Barr to task and sort of build potentially a viral moment that they could help gain them, that could help them gain traction in their presidential campaigns.
Will it be more than just a viral moment for the presidential campaigns, or could this lay the groundwork for, you know, potential impeachment proceedings when we're talking about, you know, the possibility of obstruction of justice as laid out in the Mueller report?
Certainly, and particularly, certainly the latter, and particularly on the House side again, where, as you noted, there is already some disputes about the ground rules. One of the things that Democrats want is to have their staff attorney be able to question Barr in addition to the members of the panel. And that's something that the Justice Department is objecting to. They've said that, you know, William Barr is willing to come up and testify and answer questions from members of Congress, but not necessarily to be peppered with questions from a staff attorney. However, I think from Democrats' perspective, you know, they really want to get to answers here. And I think one of the things, as you pointed out, is there is this legal question of obstruction of justice and whether or not the president committed that and what we know from the report. And so I think that Democrats are really going to try to get to the bottom of that. And they've also, you know, it's important to remind folks that there was a footnote specifically that referred in the Mueller report to impeachment. And so it's something that I think Democrats really want to focus on and potentially move forward on, given what, you know, Barr does say to them or not say to them about how he's characterized the report.
Let's move on to the presidential race now, of course, with former Vice President Joe Biden in the running as an instant front runner. It is kind of interesting, as you mentioned, with three senators on the Democratic side who are running for president, you know, potentially making their voices heard in the Barr hearings. You know, that perhaps, I guess, could shake up this race now with Biden in it.
Yeah, so I think what we're seeing in terms of the Democratic race now is that we've been talking a lot about this divide in the Democratic Party between the more established centrist wing of the party that kind of harkens back to the Obama era years and the more progressive wing that's emerged since then. And so really now what we have with Biden in the race is the two front runners each kind of hail from and represent those different factions of the party. And so I think that beyond that, what the other candidates, there's, you know, 19 other candidates beyond the two frontrunners, what they're looking to do is really distinguish themselves from the pack and try to sort of, you know, land a spot in the third or fourth position beyond Biden and Sanders, who have lined up as the number one and two. And so I think that's how the Mueller hearing potentially, the Barr hearing potentially fits in, is that it's an opportunity for those three Democrats, Klobuchar, Booker, and Harris, to potentially solidify the spot as you know, or create some waves for themselves and some traction that could land them in the third or fourth position. But it's also interesting because it's an example of where, you know, we have these two other candidates, Biden and Sanders, who have long histories, each of them, of being in Washington and long legislative records. Biden, as we all know, was a senator for a very long time before he spent 8 years in the White House. And so I think that it just shows the intersection between, you know, these candidates that are coming forward and their long, in many cases, legislative history.
Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter, thanks as always. You can read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal and follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Karen.
Nathan, thank you. 6:56 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Small Business Report. Here's John Tucker.
Now you don't have to leave your dog behind when you go to the supermarket or other spots where a spot is not welcome. A pooch named Winston inspired his owner, Chelsea Brownridge, to create Brooklyn-based Dog Spot.
Even if I was just going into the store for a minute to pick something up quickly, it meant that my dog Winston couldn't come with me on the walk because he can't go in and I'm not willing to tie him up.
Dog Spot operates comfy, climate-controlled, self-cleaning, secure dog houses outside supermarkets, restaurants, and places Fido can't go.
They're webcam monitored, which means that you can watch your dog the entire time on your phone, so you'll have that peace of mind knowing that they're resting comfortably, not barking, or not displaying any signs of anxious behavior.
60 dog spots are set up in 14 states, with another 300 on the way. Brownridge has been selected as the Small Business Administration's Woman-Owned Small Business of the Year for 2019. And that's the Bloomberg Small Business Report.
All right, John, thank you. And S&P futures are down 2.5 points right now. NYMEX crude oil also on the decline, down 0.4%. It's at $63.05 a barrel. And straight ahead, it is a Bloomberg surveillance with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.